Hip Hop Gamer.
Yo, yo, what's up, man? It's the one and only Hip Hop Gamer, Hot 97, Logitech Tech G. The best is right here with Fragging and Lagging Podcast. Let's get it. You know what time it is, Hip
Hop Gamer. No stranger to danger. Roll back that beautiful bean footage and you'll find it.
I can't hear a thing in the game. It's like, hey, there's a friend request!
All right, this bastard is on my... Okay, GTFO, bitch.
All right, everybody, here it comes. Sit back and enjoy the Fragging and Lagging Podcast. What's going on, everybody? If you guys aren't pumped for this episode, then there is something wrong with you. My name is Bobby, your Junkhead. Call me whatever you want, as long as you call me your friend. And as usual, I can't do this. All things are possible with this podcast from because of my brother from another mother, all the way from Belgium, the beast from Bruges, Joachim Blaze. What's going on, Blaze?
Yo, Junkhead. You're getting really good at these intros.
Dude, I've been practicing. I get pumped up for this, so I'm more pumped up now than ever.
Yeah. You're always pumped up, man. Like, I always been thinking, like, should I intro Junkhead, but I don't know how to intro you. Like, the beast from Florida. I you know, the guy who used to sing like an American rock star, you know, like that plays the guitar like he plays every woman in his life.
No, stop.
Here your lady go, would kill me.
Yeah, but this isn't about us. This episode is not about us. You want me to do it? You want me to kick it off? You want me to do this thing? Blaze?
Yeah, do it.
All right, do it. You guys, once again, thank you to Justin for making this possible. We are proud to bring to you the content creation renaissance man, gamer, rapper, soon to be movie star host, Hip Hop Gamers in the building.
Yeah. You already know what it is, dog. Hip Hop Gamer, no stranger to danger. Number one journalist. Quickly, I changed the game up. Let's go, baby. Fragging and lagging, son. That's how we do it, B. How y'all feeling, man? What's good?
Oh. It's already spitting lyrics like it's nothing.
Dropping fire. So once again, thank you for coming on. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you on board, be part of the Fragging and Lagging family. Once you're in, you can't get out, just so you know. You're in your this part. So a lot of people really want to know how you started, what you did, anything, and what made it click for you, because you obviously have a very successful YouTube channel, Twitter, you're on Instagram. Is there anything you can't do? That's why I called you the content creation renaissance man. You can do pretty much everything, man. You're obviously pretty fit, because my man is dripped out with some gold. And
yeah,
you're like the back-to-back gaming champion. The belt says it all. I mean, is there anything you can't do?
Nah, well, it's definitely nothing that I, you know, like, can't do. You know what I'm saying? As long as I put my mind to everything that I want to do, that I'm passionate about, I'm going to dominate in it. Like, period. Like, that's just my focus, and that's my energy, and that's my competitive nature. You know what I'm saying? Especially coming from the world of hip-hop and games, always had that, like, competitive mentality. So anything that I do, I'm going to just go in and take it over. So I feel like I had the same approach to this, like, to what I do from a content creator standpoint. So just to give everybody like a deep dive, you know, into who I am and what I do and, you know, how I became the brand Hip Hop Gamer, it all started with my grandmoms. So my grandmother, she taught me how to, rest in peace first, but my grandmother, she taught me how to play video games when I was 4 years old. So I've been playing video games all my life, literally. But what my grandmoms did, she taught me how to play video games, but she also made it relate to life. So my grandmother was a hardcore gamer too. She didn't just give it to me as a way to like get out of her head, like leave me alone, just play this game. She recognized my passion for games, you know, right off the bat. The first game I ever played was Pac-Man on Atari 2600, right? And then when I played Mario on Nintendo, that's when I became a gamer for real. Like, this is what I was gonna do forever. And what happened is my passion for games, my grandmoms wanted me to have that same passion for life. So in games, you got different levels and challenges and objectives. that you got to accomplish. So in life, you have the same things, bro. You got the, you got, you know, different life challenges and objectives and things that you got to, that you're trying to accomplish as well. So when she made me see the parallel in both, that's how she raised me. So between, you know, God, you know, going to church and video games, these was like two pillars that helped shape my life. So I thank my grandma so much for that. So then moving forward, you know, I'm a big fan of hip hop, you know, grew up loving hip hop, grew up loving the culture. And my brother and my cousins and stuff, they started this rap group called HLC, which was called Hard Living Criminals, right? And, you know, at that particular time, you know, I was inspired, you know, by them to want to rap and everything. Cause I see, you know, what they was doing and it looked cool. And I, you know, and I love the culture anyway. So I wanted to do the same thing. So I started writing music and they used to call me Jackal. So before hip hop, gaming, and all this other stuff, they used to call me Jackal, Jackal Flares overall. They used to call me that. And then and the reason why is because when I was younger, I had a, my energy is always the same, but because I grew up in the hood, my energy was more on the gangster side of things. So I was more rough, you know? And then, so I started making music at the age of 14. And I had record deals that was offered, you know, like to me and like to us as a group. Shout out to MC Shan, because MC Shan back in the day wanted to sign us. That's still my man today. Like I've been through a lot, you know? And then, but the reason why I turned that whole career down because something didn't feel right. Like, and this is how I know, like my spirit was talking to me. Like it was amazing how like God works, but it was real dangerous. Like the deals that was presented to us, I was like, something ain't right. Like, you know, it seemed real, real devious and real, real mean. Like the way they wanted to like lock us in certain contracts and the energy didn't feel right. So I didn't want to do it. And when I didn't want to do that, you know, I just focused on school and everything. And when I graduated from Thomas Jefferson High School in Brooklyn in 2000, I got a job at the record labels at Universal Music Group. So when I got this job, now think about it. You know, I'm a rap artist, you know, I love games, and I get a job in a mailroom with every single record label. Like that's how crazy it was. So in the mailroom, I got a chance to know everybody from, you know, Murder, Inc., Rockefeller, Dipset, like all the labels, like everybody, you know what I'm saying? Like it was surreal to be able to, like, I'm delivering mail and I see Jay-Z down the hall, like, or Rihanna walks in and like, it was just surreal. So, but I had that experience and I was working in a,
Wait. Fanboy question.
Go ahead, bro.
Is Rihanna really beautiful like I think she is?
Oh, Rihanna is fine. Like Rihanna is fine.
Oh, damn. Now I'm jealous of you. Rihanna
is beautiful. And forehead and all. It, like, when I saw her, her forehead was out and her forehead was beautiful too. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Rihanna and the forehead and everything. But Rihanna was cool though. Like Rihanna is like around the way, girl, just chilling. I don't think she takes herself too seriously, like how other people would.
She's like, she's not fake like some artists. Yeah, she's like real 100%. Oh
man, she ain't fake. She don't care. Like if you around, she's gonna involve you. Like she's just like, she don't care. Like she's just really, really, really cool. So shout out to Rihanna. But yeah. So it's like you in this environment, and it's crazy. So what happened is, while I'm, you know, working in a mailroom in 2007, December 16th in 2007, that's when I made my first ever YouTube video ever. And it started out where it was me and a friend of mine named Jose, and it was called Hip Hop Gamers. And it was me and him, and that's how it was supposed to be. But he had some personal issues, you know, obviously I won't speak about, but he had some personal issues where he couldn't continue. So Hip Hop Gamers became Hip Hop Gamer, and I just kept going on my own. And then I got discovered by Torrence Davis. And Torrence Davis, you know, he's been in the game since 1995, like, you know what I'm saying, the gaming industry, and, you know, doing his thing. And he had his own website called thebitbag.com. and he found one of my videos that was talking about one of his writers, because one of his writers was lying about Assassin's Creed that came out in 2007. He was it was about trophies and some other thing that he was talking about with the achievements and everything and the performance of the game, but he was lying, and I called him out on it. So when I did that, Torrance took a liking to me, and he agreed with me over his writer, which lets me know he was real. And I appreciated that. And then through him, I got a chance to get discovered to the point where I got a chance to go to E3. And anybody that's a gamer, you know E3 is the mecca. You know what I'm saying? That's a Super Bowl joint. Like, you go to E3, you lit. You know what I'm saying? So I went to E3 2008. That was my first year. And I got a chance to meet so many different people in the industry, break a lot of barriers. And also, I was the first person ever to go to E3, and they seen somebody that you know, looked like me with the energy that I got, and I'm definitely a one of one, you know, like as a individual in this industry. So I was met with a lot of love, but I was also met with a lot of racism. There's a lot of people that was like, "Yo, why are you even here?" You know, I dealt with a lot of stuff. So the reality is, a lot of the things that I've learned in my first, you know, trip to E3. Was that even in the gaming industry, you can still get met with a lot of things that you deal with in the hood. You know what I'm saying? Or a lot of things that you deal with in the world, period. Like, no matter where you go, you're going to be black. Like, you're a black person, period. No matter where you go, there's people out there that still going to have that same ignorant energy towards you. And, you know, that's the way it is. So what bothered me about that was, you know, I'm thinking that the game industry as a whole would be like this ultimate safe haven for everybody that is gamers. And you just get met with a harsh reality that you still have a lot of people that feel like you don't belong because they was, you know, raised a certain way to be taught something that was very ignorant. So that's you know, I dealt with that. So I took you know, those hits on the chin. But then there was a lot of amazing things that happened when I went to E3. I did major interviews with people like Hideo Kojima. And Aaron Greenberg, Microsoft executive, got a chance to meet so many incredible people that I looked up to. Shout out to Adam Sessler, you know, because I'm a big fan of G4 and everything. So it was crazy. And after that, everything changed. Everything started to change after that. Because when I got back to New York after that whole experience out in L.A., man, every article, everything I started to really blow up. Everybody was like, "Yo, hip hop gamer. It was crazy. So, so fast forward, you know, as I'm getting to know more people in the industry and build up my brand like that, I'm still have a day job. So I'm working in the mailroom, still managing my website and all this other stuff. And sometimes in the mailroom, I would have a lunch break. And on my lunch break, I would go do an interview with somebody like a Samuel L. Jackson. And then come back to work. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, things started to blow up for me. Yo, it was crazy. And then while I'm in the mailroom, there's people that's seeing me, like, do this stuff. They like, "Yo, I just saw your, like, YouTube video. Like, what are you doing here?" Like, you know, like, you supposed to be here, blah, blah, blah. So that's when I met this dude, Davey D. And Davey D, he works for Universal Republic. And he was like, "Yo, bro, you need to go to Hot 97. Like, Hot 97 needs somebody like you. They could really, you know, blow up and bring gaming, you know, to the forefront." So I did a red carpet with Facebook, yo. And they had this game called Gigit. And it was not good at all. And but anyway, I'm on the red carpet. And I did an interview with Peter Rosenberg. And that interview, it was fire. And even though it was short, because, you know, they had to go do other things, the interview was fire to the point where they wanted me to come to Hot 97 and continue the interview. But also, I told them, like, "Yo, how come y'all don't have gaming in y'all arsenal?" So we had a discussion about that. Lo and behold, you know, I became the first digital personality and partner with Hot 97 to bring gaming to the station. So that right there was extremely monumental. And then the thing is, when I did that, I think it was E3 2016. Yeah, I think it was E3 2016, if I'm not mistaken. Logitech, you know, they got their G brand, you know, their gaming brand that they're getting off the ground. And I met up with some good friends of mine that work at Logitech, and we talked about, I was telling him like, yo, we could do something huge with the gaming brand. And after we had this conversation, yo, it was amazing because it went beyond just gaming. So what happened is my boy Ujesh, who's one of the executives at Logitech, he talked about his daughters when they went online to play games and they was immediately met with racism and all this sort of stuff. And the thing is, we can't change everybody, but at least we can do something that can have a positive impact to try to inspire some sort of change in the community, right? So that's what led to the whole idea of this program I have called Gaming and Guidance that I do alongside with my boy Tavon Skinner, who's the co-founder of it, and my team over there. So it's because he works with, he has a nonprofit called Craft Keepers, Inc., and we do all this stuff together, and I'll get into that later. But the thing is, when me and Logitech came together, that's when I was able to merge Logitech and Hot 97 collectively as a brand through my voice and content. And that's never happened before. And when I did that, that led to me leaving my day job June 3rd, 2016. That's when I was able to leave my day job and stuff like that. And then after I left my day job, it was scary at first. Because it's one of those situations where, you know, you really out on your own, like you really working for yourself and you really putting everything on the line and there's no turning back. So when I did that with the, you know, with Logitech Hot 97 and, you know, left my day job and I just went full steam ahead with the hip hop gamer brand, man, it's been, you know, overwhelming, like this whole ride. So that leads me to where we are today, where on a day-to-day, you know, I'm a game journalist, so I do, you know, reviews on the video games. I play the games early. I do a lot of the interviews with the game developers and things of that nature, you know, creating content. So that's one. I have my weekly show, Hip Hop Gamer Show. I'm also a music artist, so I make songs for the video games too. And I'm also a character in different video games as well, such as the NBA 2K Playground series. And
I play that game sometimes. Didn't get the one this year because people told me it wasn't that new, like they didn't like develop. I love the playground in the game. And yeah, question: what is your show about?
So, the hip hop gamer. If you go to the NBA play, if you go to the playgrounds team, you'll see me on that team and stuff like that. So I'm there. So between you know, the making music for games, being a content creator, having my own show, doing consulting on the back end with other companies, you know, helping them, you know, remain authentic in what they want to do and what they're trying to accomplish. And my program, Gaming and Guidance, impacting a lot of the communities, especially underserved communities and people who, all that stuff. And, you know, just Black people, period. And I mean, everybody, obviously, but especially Black people because of the situation that we're in, like using gaming as a way to break the ice, to be able to create conversation and dialogue, to make people understand that, hey, in the gaming world, whether you play games or not, there's still a place for you here with your talent and your passion. So it's so many things that I'm doing now, but that's pretty much, you know, the story that led me, you know, to where I'm at today. And there's so much more to accomplish. And one of the things that I'm seeing now that I really want to change is that there's a lot of exploitation, you know, in the gaming industry. There's a lot of people trying to get involved that genuinely don't care about the gaming industry, but the fact that there's so much money in it, and since everybody is moving towards it, especially when COVID hit and all this other stuff, everybody want to act like they gamers now. They want to act like they been down or been a part of this and stuff like that. So one of the things I want to do is keep everything authentic and hold people accountable and call people out. Because it's just like in hip hop. You know, hip hop was once an art form that was reserved for people that was great in it. And if you're great at something, you're not going to see everybody a part of it. Because it's only for the people that are great in it. Like, if you look at Michael Jackson, not everybody can do what he done. Like, not everybody could do what he do. So it shouldn't be something that anybody could just do either. That's what, that's the difference between average, good, and greatness. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can't do what LeBron did and Michael Jordan did and Kobe did and so on and so forth. You know, it takes a certain level to get to that particular status. So in hip hop, like, you could just make a TikTok video about nothing, and now you're so-called the superstar artist. Like, it's ridiculous to me. So in gaming, you still got to respect the dollar. You know what I'm saying? You know, you still got to pay for things and buy things. You can't just go, like in music, I go to Spotify and listen to all the songs I want without having to pay for something. Like, you know what I mean? I can just listen to it. You know, the ads are old, but I could just still consume the music for free. In gaming, you got to respect the dollar. You know, that's the biggest difference between that, you know, music, movies, and whatever, or other forms of entertainment mediums. So because of that, I want to make sure that whatever happens in the gaming space and the people that enter in, they understand and respect, you know, a culture that literally played a major role in changing my life. You know what I'm saying? So I care about it that much. So, so yeah, man, but that's where we at today. And I can't wait to see what the next chapter, you know, unveils to me.
Dude, that's just, I mean, I kind of, I've had this list of questions to ask you, and I've lost track of so many of them. Cause like, you are like on, you don't have a break. That's what I respect about you. Just listen to, there's no break. It's gas all the way till, you know, I don't think your tank's ever going to run empty. So, you know, kudos for what you're doing. But one of the questions I did have is that, obviously, Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of bad neighborhoods in Brooklyn and stuff like that. And a lot of, you know, violence that happens, you know. And what was the reaction from, like, I'm sure you heard from your friends, like, oh, what's Hip Hop Gamer doing? Oh, he's gaming? What's that? I'm sure you were called names, you're a whack, or, you know, or a nerd or something like that. Let me ask you this: what is the reaction that those homies from around the way see your success? What are they saying about you now? Is like, dude, I didn't know that was going to be a thing, you know? I mean, because you obviously were on the forefront, and I like the fact that you call people out on all their stuff. But what was those homies from around the way, what was the reaction when they seen the success and what you brought to the table?
So the first thing, I had mentioned this because Soulja Boy recently had put out a tweet, you know, talking about that very thing with gaming and hip hop and the disconnect there. And I responded to them on that. But just to answer your question, so in my situation, man, when it came down to games like NBA Live and Madden and even Street Fighter and stuff, that was cool. But anytime you talked about, you know, Super Ghouls and Goblins and Final Fantasies and Parasite Eve and all these other different types of games, like, just to keep it a buck, especially in the hood, they was like, those are the games that white people play. We don't play those games. Like, that was that mentality. I'm just keeping it a buck. That was that mentality. And okay. it wasn't cool. You're a nerd. You don't get no girls. You, all this other stuff. Like, that's the way the energy was like, you know, growing up in the hood. If you talked about any other game besides, like, the games that was so-called accepted in the hood. See, me, I play it all. But when
they should have seen all the girls playing the games now.
Yeah, I know, right? Man, your hindsight is beyond 2020 at that point, bro. But what was so funny about the whole situation is when I was, you know, playing the games, there's been, you know, an instance where somebody will try to, like, call me a nerd or try to play me and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, I am a nerd. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that's cool. Something wrong with you. I've been like that, like, a long time, like, in my life, where, you know, I don't have to follow somebody else to be cool. Like, I'm cool because I'm cool. Like, you know what I mean? I ain't never had that, like, peer pressure too much like that. And also, I could fight. So I was like, yo, you know, if you got a problem with something or whatever, you could get punched in the mouth. What's up? Like, so that was my energy towards a lot of, like, people that was trying to, like, you know, play me, like, when I was younger, doing what I love to do. You know what I'm saying? I remember my sister, she had a friend that, and her brother or whatever had a Genesis, and they had Mickey Mouse Castle of Illusions, right? And I guess he didn't think that was the cool game to play. So I was like, yo, I want it. My sister came home, bro, with Mickey Mouse Castle of Illusions, I lost it. That was, I went crazy on that game, son. Mickey Mouse Castle of Illusions. This is what I'm talking about. When I hear people be talking about they gamers and they don't know nothing, man. They know, it's you know what it's like? That's like if somebody come out and tell you that they're a big fan of Jay-Z, but they only know the songs that was commercial hits. Like, they don't know nothing about 22 Tools. They don't know nothing about, you know, Reasonable Doubt. And, like, they don't know nothing about nothing else that really is the core on why we love certain artists that we love. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's what I'm talking about. So, at the end of the day, you know, back then, I made it cool, especially in my area, to play a lot of these different games because I started putting my friends on to different games. And because I was cool, it was cool. You understand what I'm saying? So that started to change, you know, a lot, you know, especially in my hood with me. But commercially, mainstream-wise, of course it wasn't cool. Think about it. They don't even market to us unless it's something dealing with sports. Other than that, they don't even market to our demographic in the hood when it comes to all the video games. Think about it. Look at the commercials back in the day with Nintendo Power or something, or, you know, Sega and all this other stuff. You know what I mean? We wasn't in those commercials. We never was talked about. So I'm just saying the representation was never there for us. So that was that. Now, fast forward to now. Oh, man. Oh, please. Like,
what's the hottest game? What should I get in on, you know? But yeah, I mean, like,
I get calls and texts all the time from mad people that I would not expect, but mad people like, yo, son, you know what I'm saying? We trying to start this esports joint. Or, yo, son, we trying to do this. Or, yo, son, with a bag at, son, I already know this is what you do. And I'm like, yo, it's crazy. So at the end of the day, there's people out there that genuinely love it, came up in it, and trying to do something about it, even more so because the opportunities is there. And you got some people that's just like, follow the money, and that's where the money at, that's where we going. You know what I mean? Especially in the entertainment business, especially when COVID hit, that shut down so much from a lot of other companies. So now a lot of people is just investing in gaming and everything like that simply to try to play catch up and everything like that. And I'm like, that's why I love gaming so much from a dollar amount standpoint, because you got to respect the dollar, and you can't buy your way to authenticity here. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, I love it, man. I love it. So,
I mean, yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like, I think, you know, it's
that's the way great. I felt about it.
It's great to be a gamer, right? But to me, everyone's a gamer. Everyone like plays games of some sort, whether it be on your phone or whatever. It's the people that they realize, like you said, there's people that are just chasing the dollar, and there's people that are in it for the right reasons. And kudos for you, because you've seen that, look, I'm in it because this is something that I enjoy doing. It doesn't matter what game it is, I'm going to play it. And you had the foresight to say, you know what? Because I'm authentic about it and what I'm doing, I'm not just playing the games that's mainstream. I like to play that game that no one's ever heard of, and I want to bring that game to the forefront and let you guys know that it's fun to play. And it's enjoyable. You don't have to play Madden. You don't have to play NBA 2K. You don't have to play, you know, or call NCAA football, stuff that you anticipate that you're supposed to be. That's the cool games to play. There's so many other cool games out there. So kudos to you, because, you know, no one would have thought that would have been cool to play a game. And, you know, it's that, to me, there's not enough people like you out there that are doing that. It's like you're breaking the stereotype. And, you know, it's like, and to those people, like you said, when coronavirus hit and it shut everything down, there's that people that try to capitalize on it. And they're like, they went out and they just invested. Now you're a streamer, you're a content creator, and that you did this overnight. And then once life goes back to real, So once life comes back to real, once all this stuff is over, then those people that are in it and they're, you know, disingenuous to the content creation game, those people are going to be like, oh, well, I had my fun. I made my run. I made a couple bucks, and they're gone. And it's a shame to say, because there's a lot of people out there that are committed, that they're passionate about gaming, and they're doing it for the right reason. They're taking their knocks. They're getting knocked down. They're getting back up. And they're like, you know what, I'm going to be back tomorrow. I'm doing this, you know, and So kudos to you, man, because there's just not enough people like you out there. And I hope people that are listening to this podcast understand the message that he's trying to put out. So I'm doing a golf clap for you. And
thank you, man. I appreciate that.
So, I mean, it's just like we've seen it is that, you know, there's, like you said, big sports stars that, you know, they've been gamers, but all of a sudden they realize, oh, look, you know, there's big entertainers or whatnot. They're like, oh gosh, now I'm going to be a gamer and, you know, and hey, I'm streaming, come hang out, whatever platform you stream on. You know, their fans follow them. I understand that, but, I mean, what's your idea? What's your thoughts on the social media game of promoting and putting out content on everything? You know, like TikToks, Instagram, Twitter. And what are your thoughts on quality over quantity?
Oh, quality forever. Look, period. Quality forever. See, the thing, here's something I will tell you, right? If you walk down a block, and let's say there's a big billboard, you know, somewhere, and you look up in the sky. If you look at the billboard and it doesn't make you do anything or invoke a reaction or whatever, then it's just a billboard there for you to see, but it meant nothing to you. You saw it and you still move it. But if you do something and it impacts you in a certain way, now it means something to you. So think about the way nostalgia works. You know what I'm saying? Even with nostalgia. Like, one of the reasons why Stranger Things, like, had blew up, because it related to this 80s-centric nostalgia and music and just having fun with your friends, and it was different. It was more engaging. So look at Cobra Kai. You know, this is based off an old movie, and when people see it, it's like, yo, I remember this. It's nostalgia. It meant something to you. So quality does that. Because the thing is, when it comes to quantity, it's easy to just continue to put out. But it takes time to make something special. And when you do it, it's like, wow, no matter what you do after this, this right here will last forever. And that's what I'm all about. Like, my whole idea within my brand and the moves I make and what I do is to be a one of one. I have a keynote called Be Exclusive, and I have a quote I created called Character is Your Currency. Because who you are is the true value, and everything else becomes a byproduct of the success of the value that you have within yourself. So at the end of the day, I want to make sure that out of all the 7 billion people in the world, when Hip Hop Gamer do something, you know it's Hip Hop Gamer that did it. You know what I mean? It was something special. It was the voice. It was something that made it like, wow, you have everybody else and then you have Hip Hop Gamer. So I'm always quality, you know, over quantity, always. Now, don't get me wrong, I tested out both. You know, I tried to be the person to just put out a whole bunch of stuff. So it's good to put out a whole bunch of stuff of quality. So you gotta have both, you know what I'm saying? Put out a lot of quality. Don't just put out anything just to say that you're filling up a quota. You know what I'm saying? So that is what I think people got to understand. So what I do is, if I got a lot of highlights, like, for example, I just did some major interviews with Disney for their new movie, Raya and the Last Dragon, right? So I interviewed Kellyanne and Awkwafina, and they're the main, you know, characters, the voice of Raya and the voice of Sisu. So I just did those major interviews, right? So when I put out certain pieces of content, that's going to be high quality stuff. And I have a bunch of it. So I just make sure that whatever I do is something of value, something of purpose, something of quality, so people can associate quality with me. So when my name is brought up, it holds weight. It means more because of what I'm doing with what I put out.
Dude, that's, I mean,
so
I know
that 100%.
Yeah. I mean, I'm notorious. Like, you know, of course, everyone's down.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah. I can still hear you. Yeah.
So no, we hear you.
Yeah. Like, I'm notorious for, of course, everyone trying to capitalize on the TikTok craze and whatnot. And
hey, you know, you're a TikTok diva, Junkhead. So, I'm sorry to say, but you're a TikTok diva. You're a TikTok diva, man. But, I mean, waiting for your first dance now.
So I did one before.
Yeah,
so
another thing, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I don't do that either. Like, for example, right? Ain't nothing wrong with doing challenges. I know a lot of people got, they do challenges and everything like that. But like, I see people do anything just to do it. Like it's like, I see they doing it, so I'm going to do it. Or they got a whole bunch of views for doing it, so I'm going to do it to see if I can capitalize on it. It's like,
yeah, it's,
I just can't, it's too much for me. Like, I just can't do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm just a different person. I'm wired different. I think different. I just can't. You're not going to see me doing the Junebug challenge. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to see me. I go left. If everybody go left, I go right. Like, I'm just like that, man.
I mean, my thing is that I agree with you 100% because everyone wants this, like, let's, you know, we're on the topic, TikTok fame. Everyone wants that TikTok fame. I want to be famous on TikTok. I want to go viral. And yeah. let's talk about the challenge, that Busset challenge, right? All right, so yeah. You have these girls that are out there, and you know, they're doing the Busset challenge. And
wait. The Busset challenge, isn't that the thing where you like go through your legs and you change or whatever?
No. Where you like drop? You're wearing regular clothes. You drop down.
You did one on that junket where you broke your back.
Yeah, I broke my back on it. I was making fun of people doing it because this is like the advice I would put out there, because you have these girls who it's like you're selling yourself out for a view because, you know, you're worried about a view, you're worried about a like, you're worried about that acceptance buzz. You know, they're wearing normal clothes, they drop down, and then pretty much they're shaking and their dump trucks out for the world to see. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, so this could be someone's mom, this could be someone's daughter, this could be someone's sister. And I was like, and if you guys realize, people could save that video. And, you know, and I was like, once it's out there, it's out there.
Out there.
So, and, you know, you have that digital, and it's great. Like, if I'm doing a dance, I'm making fun of somebody. Like, when I did it, I dropped down and I act like I broke my back and I rolled on the ground, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's like my content that I put out on TikTok. I mean, I do this one now called Dying for Dance because this was the thought that I had behind
it. Because you're the worst player on Warzone. Yes, you are.
Well, yeah, but because
I have to carry you so hard that my back is not broken. They had to put the like.
Because the concept I had behind it, and I think, I don't want to say I'm the first, because this is the way I look at it. Everyone puts content out there, like on TikTok, clips where they're like getting 60 kills, they're making these awesome snipes, they're making, you know, 50, you know, doing like 25 kills and stuff.
But I can't help it. I can shoot people and you can't.
But when you watch, them stream, they're dying just as much as, you know, so for every, you know, one awesome snipe they have, there's like 50 kills times they died and look bad doing it, you know? So I had this concept. I was like, I want you guys to know that it's okay. You can create content out there. And you don't have to be good at gaming, because gaming, and I'm like, you're a good gamer, you know, hip hop, you do things right. So I'm like I'm the opposite, where I was like, I'm putting content out to let you know it's okay to not be good at game. It's okay. But it's okay to have fun. That's more important. Make it enjoyable because people
Trunket.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. You play Fortnite and you don't know how to build a wall.
There we go.
Yeah, like, yo, it is. It's, but like, you're absolutely right, John.
Because the way, and we'll touch the Fortnite thing. I did a YouTube video about this, but is that those people want you to see the bet, and that's great. It's great to be good at things, but it's also, you're kind of being disingenuous to your community, because those community members are like, oh, wait, you hit that shot, but you died 50 times trying to get it. And I get that. And like, my concept was, and a lot of people said, you know what, that's a unique look on it. Well, I mean, that's cool, you know. And, you know, I don't get all these views. I mean, I'm happy with what I got because I enjoy doing it. And Blaze busts my balls all the time about playing Fortnite. And he knows the reason why I play Fortnite is because I get to play with my fiance, who sits right across from me, who got into gaming a couple years ago. And it's something that we get to do as a couple in our home. We get to enjoy it. We have fun. And it's just me and her. That's it. That's our thing that we get to do. So some people go out and drop, you know, drop a, I don't know, a stack on clothes and go in debt and stuff like that. all we do is we hang out together, you know, and that's more important to me than anything. So, you know, and she supports me in everything I do. And, you know, I, you know, kudos to her, you know, everyone's got that rock and she's my rock, you know,
you know, I'm just messing with you.
No, right? He does.
Cause he's
the one that suggested that I should put something out telling people why I play Fortnite. And he still gives me a hard time.
The thing, yeah, that's one of the things, but also the dying in Verdansk and stuff. You were always like, Blaze, I'm never going to get as good. You know, I'm never going to get as good as you, or I suck and this and that. And I told you, make something out of that, you know, have fun doing that. You should just enjoy having fun.
As a disclaimer, I always play on EU server, so my ping rate is through the roof.
Wait, didn't you tell me that you play better on EU servers than on US servers?
Yeah, sometimes.
Or am I wrong? Because I'll always join you on US. I don't mind.
No, I mean, but the thing about it is that, like, not only, like, and people know my relationship with Blaze is that I during H1Z1, I really, like, it was a whole world of great content creators, and that's where I discovered Blaze, and I got to, like, he was playing one game that lasted about, like, 2 weeks, and it sucked. I thought it was going to be good. So from there, I was like, I remember this guy from H1Z1, So we develop a relationship. We were in the same esports orgs together. And then when this podcast started happening, I was like, this is the guy I would love to do it with. And for me, like, we sacrifice a lot of our personal stuff.
He's going to start
podcast.
Crying now.
No. It's just that because the way I look at it is like, especially with Hip Hop Gamer in here, you realize the passion behind it is that, like, we sacrifice a lot of our personal stuff, our personal growth for this podcast, because I believe in this podcast. I love hearing people's stories. And that's the premise behind this podcast is that theoretically Hip Hop Gamer is the host of the Fragging and Lagging podcast. And we're just here chilling out and we're hearing his stories, and you hear the passion behind the man, the drive. And it's like, people should be inspired. So yeah, it's great to go out and post 3 TikToks a day, post on Instagram twice, but you know, and those people are generally, like, you know, full-time content creators. They have the time, you know, versus, like you were saying, you know, you started in the mailroom and you had to pretty much hustle to do this, to do that. You seize the moment to start doing your interviews, and things were blowing up and you were calling people out, you know. And I was like, because all that sacrifice that you made to get to where you're at, it's like your dreams have come to fruition. But I imagine you've achieved milestones, but you have goals that you have to get to. And dude, those are the ones that I want to hear about. I mean, what's your end game goal that once you achieve it, you get 2 belts? And let me ask you on your, I want to touch base on the belt real quick. So I take it one of the pictures on your belt is your grandma.
Yeah.
And yep. who was the other picture?
My son. So. Yep. My son, Marcus. Yep. So. Love my son. Shout out to my son, Marcus. So it's my grandmother and my son, Marcus, that's on my belt. I got the belt because my grandmother always looked at me as a champion and she was my champion. Obviously I'm a fan of wrestling, you know, boxing and things of that nature, but also I wanted to make sure that right out the gate, as soon as I came into the game industry from a professional standpoint, like I knew I was going to be the best at it, period. Like that was, I know a lot of people on the outside looking in that may not know or understand at first would say this is a gimmick and it's cool because it, you know, it's a conversation starter and brings a lot of attention. But I mean that when I say that I'm absolutely like the best at what I do, period. And I just continue to do my best to better myself and learn and do research and have more to offer. You understand? But I always want to make sure that whatever I do, I'm the only one that's doing it. Like, you know, at the level that I can do it and continue to grow that. So being a champion, you see my chain, you see my belt. You know, I got other stuff coming. But like I said, man, the whole idea is to be number one in what you do simply because of what you said in terms of the amount of sacrifice you make, you know, amount of time that you put into it. You know, I ain't looking to be just regular, just average. Like when you say Hip Hop Gamer, it's like it need to mean something. And it does mean a lot. And actually, it means more than what I even thought it did when I started realizing people who already knew me or knew of me or was inspired by me that I didn't even know, you know, at the time. So over time, a lot of things was revealed to me, and you just never know who's watching you. You know, you never know who's really inspired by you. And then when you learn to discover that people that you looked up to was in turn inspired by the things that you did, it's kind of like, it's weird. It's like, yo, like I didn't, you know, so you just never know how far this could take you. So that's one in terms of the belt itself. It embodies me, you know, on my belt, it says God first, you know, on my belt, I got hip hop. I got Eminem, Jay-Z and Tupac, and I got Master Chief, Kratos and Mario. You know, I got everything, my partners, Hot 97, Logitech, like everything that makes me is on my belt. So whatever I touch becomes number one. That's the way I look at it. And then on top of that, to answer your, you know, the other part of your question in terms of the end game, man, Lord willing, I could be 85, still doing podcasts, still playing games, talking about games and talking about new technology. But one thing I definitely want is I want to have a chain of gaming and guidance centers. You know, worldwide. And on top of that, I'm a big fan of Oprah and David Letterman and Arsenio Hall and people like that. So I want my own official like network TV talk show that embodies hip hop and video games collectively, surrounded around all forms of entertainment. It's going to be the craziest thing ever.
Man, I mean, this is the way I look at it. And like you said it before, you when you put your stamp of approval on it, you don't want to be hip-hop gamer. You want people to say, oh, shit, that's the hip-hop gamer.
And yeah. Ooh, yeah.
So, hey, sometimes I have my moments, but look, this is the way I look at it, honestly, from the – and I will tell you, I did minimal research about you, right? I did enough, just enough – because I wanted to be like the shock and awe factor behind your story. And that's what Blaze and I are really good about. We don't really research our guests if we don't know anything about them. We'll check them out a little bit because I wanted to be like I'm hearing it for the first time. Because if I, like I said, if I'm telling your story, it's not your story, it's my story. And then you're just being a small part in it. And I wanted that like shock and awe factor when I heard your story. And I will tell you right now, you have a devout follower in me. And
wow,
I
he's gonna start stalking.
No. I'm not gonna start stalking you. You might want to block me on everything. So, but no, because people should really, and that's what I love about our podcast that Blaze and I do, is because we want to introduce people that they've never heard about, don't even know existed outside of their small circle, and make them realize that there are so many great content creators out there that do everything. They don't know that they get to learn the story about how Hip Hop Gamer was born, how it evolved, and how it's taking over the world. And honestly, I will tell you right now, the only person that is ever going to stop you from achieving success is the moment you say, I'm done. I've got it. I'm where I need to be at. And you said you're going to go for 85, but I think I think you might go longer than that. So you'll be that. Look, man, you'll be old hip hop gamer, old hip hop. I didn't say it. You know what I'm saying? And you'll have a bunch of, you know, you have your son. He'll carry on the mantra, and you'll have little hip hop gamer, you know? And it's just.
Yeah. It's so funny. Cause he already calls himself a little hip hop gamer.
Does he have a little belt? Did you make him a little belt?
Not yet. We're working on that. I actually have youth belts being made by my boy Josh over at Pro AM Belt. So, you know, that's definitely coming as well, especially with all the stuff that I'm doing with the kids in the community, but definitely going to get my son his own belt.
But, yep. Okay. Well, now I got a two-part question for you. What is your favorite game of all time? Like, if you could go back and play this game, if this is the only game you could play for the rest of your life, what would that game be?
Oh, well, if it's the only game that I can play for the rest of my life and I can't play no other game, ooh. Oh,
yeah, like there wouldn't be any other game in the world anymore, only that game. And you can choose a game when it was like at its prime, you know, at the best update or whatever, or at the best moment, you know,
oh,
and
man.
Then just
That's tough.
Oh, but, did I just world star the hip hop gamer?
Yeah, like this is tough, man. So here's what I would say. Out of respect, you know, because Mario is the game that really made me an official gamer. So that's the respect that I have to Mario. The respect that I have to God of War, Kratos, that's my favorite franchise of all time. That's my favorite character, my favorite story, my favorite game to play. Like, that's you know, my favorite there. But if I only had one game that I could play forever and ever, and there was no other game that existed, and I could only play, like, this one game, it's probably going to be Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. Like, that's, you know, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas is probably one of the best games, like, ever made in life, man. All the stuff you can work out, get bigger, you know, buy up the town. The story was fire. CJ, Grove Street, the music, ain't nothing like Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, man.
Blaze has been trying me to play this
special title, man.
No, I've been trying to
the Samuel Jackson, almost a Tenpenny. Like, it's, oh man, so everybody in there, I think Yo-Yo, I think it was in there too. Like, it was the ultimate game, in my opinion. So probably San Andreas. Yeah.
Mine would be EPMD, Strictly Business. EPMD, Strictly Business. So have you ever thought about the Twitch, the role-playing GTA 5? Creating your character and all that kind of good stuff and going from there, the role-playing one?
Well, see, the thing is, it's like, I don't know. I think it's dope in the online, in the online side of it. You know, when you create your own character online and stuff like that. But I love story. Like, I love story in games. So I love having, like, a focused character. It's a story, and, you know, you get a chance to know this character. It's the same reason why we love, you know, Kratos. Same reason why we love Nathan Drake. You develop a relationship with the character, and the character have a voice. I remember in Grand Theft Auto 3, main character couldn't talk. All you did was just do jobs. The main character couldn't talk. And then when the main character could talk, you know, you got Tommy Vercetti in Vice City and all this other stuff, and it just brought you closer to these characters. So I don't think it's more of a situation where it's like, I want to create my own self in the game and play the story out that way. I think...
I did it for like a year, right? So I created this character called Blaze, and it was kind of a ripoff of myself, but like in extremes, right? And the thing is, like, I'm going to tell it as short as possible, but I came into the city as a poor bum coming from Europe, you know, and I made friends. I slowly built up. I corrupted some cops. I put money together with a cop. We bought Benny's garage. It became Blaze's Blazing Customs, actually. I became one of the richest guys in the whole city, and gangs were after me, and I kept surviving, and people thought always I was dumb, but I was actually outplaying everybody, and like, it became a whole story. And like, outside of the server, sometimes you like meet up with people and you like start discussing storylines, and it's a whole story, and you stream it then, and your viewers are like totally into the story, are like every day there trying to see what happens to your character. So in the end, it's like creating a TV show or a series, you know? That's how you gotta see it.
I've watched those. Like, I've seen people create TV shows out of, like, Grand Theft Auto playing online. I've seen that. Like, that right there is fire and super creative. So yeah, like, I think that right there is dope, because now you're making characters that never mattered through the way you content create. So I think that's fire, son. That's fire.
Yeah, I had like a guy that was from New York that was a rapper also, you know, and he made songs on the server, and he made his own record label on the server, and he was a really good also hip hop artist himself, I thought, yeah. You know, and we were just having fun and laughing, and me and him were like totally different characters, but in the game, we were also good friends, and people couldn't understand because he was a gang member and I was like this goofy guy that was rich, you know? So yeah. Like, it was a whole story behind it. And you had just people like hopping between different Twitch streams or YouTube streams or Facebook streams, wherever those characters were streaming, to just see how every story unfolds and stuff. And It was crazy, but honestly, it took up some. It became almost a second life. So I had to, at some point, say, "Okay, I need to step back because it's getting too
the addiction was real."
So at some point, my girl said, "Like, are you living here or are you living in that game?" You know, that's how far it almost went. So
I'm in the Matrix, girl. Get off me!
But it was a lot of fun. So that's what I wanted to say about that.
Second part of the question. Obviously, other than yourself, if you had to listen to one rap album for the rest of your life, what would that be?
You know what's so funny? Eric Sermon is like a great, great, great friend of mine. That's my bro. Like, I actually featured him yesterday on Hot 97 when we were talking about Def Jam, Fight for New York and stuff like that. That's my guy, for real. That's crazy. Oh man, this is the toughest answer. I can't stand these questions, man. Like, this is so tough.
Or even that one song you could listen to forever. Doesn't matter.
No, I'm gonna answer the question. If there's one album, if I had listened to it, so tough.
Like, I'll give you, like, there's my album.
All right.
But I'll tell you my one song I can listen to on repeat over and over again and never get tired of it. And this is, like, I'm a rock guy, a grunge guy, but I've always liked Pete Rock and CL Smooth, Reminisce. I can listen to that song over and over again.
Classy. I can listen to that over and over and over and over again.
I put it on repeat, and I'm just going to sit back and vibe out, man.
Quite a few albums that I can listen to straight through from front to back and stuff like that. So, but if I was to probably say, like, one of the albums that I could just listen to straight through, no problem, I would probably go with Jay-Z's The Blueprint. The first Blueprint. I would go with Jay-Z Blueprint. But this is I'm saying Jay-Z Blueprint, sir, but I just got to throw in some other stuff there. Like, DMX is Dark and Hell is Hot. I could do that, like, straight through. Eminem, Slim Shady.
Eminem. Oh my God.
Eminem,
like,
Eminem, Slim Shady LP. I could do like three or
four. Okay. I'm gonna throw one in there. Ready to Die from Notorious.
Oh, B.I.G. already that.
Oh my God. I was like,
Nas, it was written.
I was 14, man. I was 14. I will always remember.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Nas, it was written.
And even as a European, you know, like, damn, you know.
See, missed, I mean, those are groundbreaking, you know, artists and stuff. But, like, you can't forget about Run DMC. Easily Run DMC.
Oh, yeah.
Eric B. and Rakim.
Eric B. Rakim, come on.
Oh,
man.
It's just like, oh my God. Those are earlier.
Yeah. Too much. But
I was a skater boy, so I listened to a lot of stuff. But, like, back in the days of Wu-Tang Clan and the start of it, I don't know if you remember the guys, the Mexicans, that was, like, really not so popular, but they were really good.
Oh, what group?
They're called the Mexicans.
Oh, man.
They're really, not very popular, you know? Yeah. But sometimes I really like to listen to just good hip-hop or good rap, you know, while I'm skating.
Too, man. But yeah, I would definitely say that. But it's incredible, man. Because, like, Blueprint, they even had two. And then 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying. Like, that joint is
true.
So, yeah, so it's a lot of them. But I would probably just say Blueprint, Jay-Z, man. It has so much range on it. Wow, Blueprint. Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy.
Oh my God.
Okay, I have a question. When you were younger and you were playing online games, you know, when the online gaming started, not only the gaming against your friends at home, did you ever had an online gaming girlfriend? Did you ever fall in love with a girl or something while gaming? Okay.
No. And what's so funny is like, back in the day, you know, you had, like, AOL Chat and Black Planet, Mahinte, like, you know, all those websites where
ICQ,
you know, meet, you know, girls and stuff like that, girls meet guys and meet up and stuff like that. So, you know, that was that, you know what I mean? But like an online, like gaming girlfriend, here's what I would say. My girlfriend, Red Infamy, like she's a hardcore gamer too. She started gaming when she was 3 and stuff. And me and her, we used to have amazing like place on PlayStation 3, stuff like that. Because I spoke to her on Twitter, and then we started talking on PS3, you know what I'm saying, on iCam and stuff like that through there. And we got closer, and you know, we kept talking and everything literally on PlayStation 3 and on the iCam on PlayStation 3, and got into a relationship like that. So like, so you, that was so you did, more interesting you, and stuff like that in terms of that. But in terms of just going online and getting an online girlfriend, somebody that I never saw but just only spoke to because we played games together, nah, it wasn't like that.
Hey, probably because he never.
But you did like, meet your you did meet your lady through gaming.
That's true. Yeah. Yep, definitely.
See? Gaming's good for a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yo, that's so funny you bring that up, because you know, a lot of people, especially and even recently, you know, they try to use gaming as a scapegoat for saying that gaming is the reason why the kids is messed up and there's carjackings going on, and that's because of Grand Theft Auto and everything. I'm like, you do realize that carjacking's been going on way before video games came out, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people be, they kill me with all of this, like, blame game because they don't know how to do their job right. So it's like, it's just so crazy that you said that, because gaming is great for a lot of things. And I want to keep pushing that message on how important gaming is.
Well, look how many charities that are done by gamers or by gaming companies or just a streamer. Or the thing that we joined Junkhead, oh my God, the Save the Children ones. Yeah. We did Save the Children. We collected in 1.5 days $2,100. We're really proud of it, and we were really happy to help. And I think there's so much good stuff coming from gaming. But like you said, the media was putting gaming in bad daylight. Certainly what I saw on TV, even in Europe, that in the news, they were saying like, oh, a kid came into school and unfortunately shot a bunch of people. And it's because he was playing this video game where he shoots people and they confuse it with the real world. And I'm like, well, I play those games. I never think of shooting anybody in the street. You know what I'm saying? So,
exactly.
It's the media just giving a portrait to certain people, which is not good. So it's nice to see that the gaming in a good way is showing what we can do for everybody, and that it's actually a positive and a good thing. And there's so much to do with gaming. Kids can learn calculate, kids can learn to think outside of the box, kids can evolve. There's so much stuff that you can do with gaming, and luckily it's been going better and better every year now. But I remember the days and the years that first of all, you were a nerd, or if you gamed too much, you were nothing was going to happen in your life, and so on and so on. And now you see those people actually showing the world, like, I can be like Ninja, you know, like, he's a superstar. I got so many people that are making money, that are making a living from it, that are having fun, that are showing good to the world. So gaming is not what they were portraying it to be, you know, and that's really a good thing, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I stand up against that all the time. Every time somebody try to say something, I'm like, no, you're lying, and I'm gonna prove it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because it's, you know, a lot of time when it comes to gaming, period, you know, gaming is very, very important. Like, it really is, because when it comes to when a lot of people deal with stuff in their life, everybody got stuff that they deal with, trauma, but how you react to it, how you handle it could be very detrimental to you, other people, your health and everything like that, because a lot of people don't have a sense of control and how to control their emotions. And when you play games, the level of escapism there and the fact that you do have control and you're doing this and doing that, you could get a lot of frustrations out without nobody actually having to be hurt by it and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times, especially emotionally or even mental health wise, you could go through something and feel like you're alone or feel like you're stuck and you be frustrated, or you start to feed in to what society tries to say you should be like or whatever. And then you could play a game and all of that that's weighing on you could literally go away, whether you play in a game or you boxing or something to get that energy off. But gaming is extremely helpful and therapeutic in the same vein. So yeah, I stand up to that all the time. Anybody that try to say gaming is, you know, bad and is using it as a cop out.
Well, I mean, you look at the evolution of gaming now. It's to the point now where your gaming can get you a college education. You know, colleges are picking or, you know, signing people for, as an esports player, and you're getting a degree. So you're getting scholarships to play video games. You know, I mean, so.
Yeah, of course.
So it's just the, like you were saying, is like, you know, you can have the worst day in your life. And you come home, you push whatever it is on your controller, your PS4, PS5, Xbox One, whatever, Xbox One X or something.
PC,
I don't know. But you can turn your PC, and it's that, even if you're gaming for like an hour, it's that release, you know, you're like, okay, tomorrow's going to be a better day. You know, let's turn the page. So, yeah.
Yep.
So, on behalf of me and Blaze, say thank you.
Thank you. So, it was really nice meeting you,
dude.
So, just another question: when your lyrics, right? Do they like pop up in your head? Can you like just spit lyrics like that, or do you really have to like think about them and write?
Hold on a second, hip hop. Look, a true rap artist is gonna freestyle and drop bars from their head.
All right, so check it. Yo,
wait. Do one about Junkhead and his gaming and the Fragging and Lagging podcast. Let's go.
My God.
I'm not gonna do that. I got something for you though. I got something for you.
Check it out. Okay.
Yo, see, I'm dying to get it popping. You lying, think you can stop it. I'm on a mission to profit from darkest gothic enlightenment. Your power, I see declining. I'm up, rising the riots. Got fire within my lyrics. They call it the sweet science. It's the zombie apocalypse, grabbing murderous weapon. We cleverly doing it as a way. Oh, man, I messed up. Oh,
you're,
man.
Let's go.
That was fire, man. That was fire.
Like, you know what, though? It's like,
it's all good.
No, man. It's all
that
because.
That was fire, man.
Too well, but that was
I wish I could do that. Yeah. I wish I could, too.
I would probably
fall over the second word.
That was all good. I messed that one up. That was actually for a song I did for Dying Light 2, but we don't know what's happening with that game.
Stay
right
tuned.
But that was something that I did for that. I got something else, but I don't want to let that one out right now because that's used for something else that I'm working on, so I can't spoil you that.
Hey,
but that's just a little something.
So stay tuned.
That's just a little something.
But for me and Blaze, thank you very much for being a part of the Fragging and Lagging family. You're more than welcome to come on at any time. If Blaze starts slipping, you could be in. You could be the co-host. I'm just putting that out there.
And if you ever want to frag on Call of Duty or whatever, just call me. And if you want to lag, you call Junkhead, okay?
That's what I'm talking about. So.
Oh, my God. That's fragging and lagging. I got
that's
it.
That's how we get it. You know how long it took for me to come up with that brand? And when it hit, I was like, this is it. And then, like I said, it all evolved once Blaze came on board. But do me a favor. Take a second. And you guys, listen to this podcast. All his information for Hip Hop Gamer will be down below. But do me a favor. Go ahead and shout out all your Twitter, your whatever it is, your sponsors, anything. And then just really, honestly, thank you for being a part of this. And I'm telling you right now, if anybody's not motivated by what this man says, I need you to go back and listen to this episode again.
Honestly, while like not even 10 minutes in the episode, I was like, whenever I'm going to be down content creating wise, I will go and listen to this episode because this guy, I mean you, Mr. Hip Hop. You're Mr. Hip Hop Gamer.
The Hip Hop Gamer.
You are fire, dude. Your energy, you're pure. I love it, man. I really do.
So,
I really do, man.
Whatever podcast platform you listen to this on, do me a favor, you guys, give us a like, a thumbs up, a 5-star rating, tell everybody about it, because this season we're blowing up, and you know what, if you don't respect the heat that this man's bringing to the game, there's something wrong with you. So the floor is yours, the Hip Hop Gamer, the Renaissance man of content creation. Go ahead and shout out your stuff. And
Man, listen, I'm everywhere. Just Google me, Hip Hop Gamer. You'll find me. Let's get it popping, man. That's it.
That's it, man.
That was
my chance to catch a break, and I'm like, what can I do now? You know, I mean,
like, that's it. Just now, because you know what's so funny? I could go on and say Instagram this and Facebook that. Nah, Google me, Hip Hop Gamer. You'll find me. I'm everywhere. You know what? You know what I'm saying?
That's what we're gonna do. I'm not gonna put any links for your socials. I'm just gonna put Google Hip Hop Gamer.
Google me. Yeah,
there
Google
you go.
Me. I'm
so,
telling you.
Once again, Google thank you me. On behalf of me and Blaze. Thank you very much for being a part of this. You're more than welcome anytime to come back. Once again, thank you to Justin for setting this up. And that's a wrap, guys. I mean, I'd love to have you back for to hear more. Because I think that the message you're putting out, like we could.
The thing is, somewhere in June we'll probably have a charity event going on live on Twitch. So maybe, you know, if you're free, we can send you a little invite and you come say hi to everybody. You know.
Okay, I'm with that.
Let's do this. Let's go.
Come back in June. You know what I'm saying? I'll have more to share too.
Hashtag Intel. Hashtag Intel. So you guys, make sure you guys are checking out Hip Hop Gamer. Obviously an inspirational individual. The Hip Hop Gamer. The one, the only, the Renaissance man. The man that put Brooklyn on the map. You guys.
The man that is never lagging.
Never lagging. Yeah, exactly. The tank is always full and the foot's always on the gas. So on behalf of me and Joaquin Blaze, I hope you guys enjoyed this message, this podcast episode. And remember, you better be out there gaming and better be fragging, because if not,
you're probably lagging.
Mom, get the camera. I got a kill. Oh, my God, a kill. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, mommy, I got a kill. Finally, after 250 games sitting in a corner, I'm dying to the gas.